Thank you, Miss Linda. Appreciate that. I always love hearing Miss Linda sing. She said I made her sing tonight, but that's all right. You do what you have to do, right? Mark chapter 12. It was worth, I'll bribe her next time. Mark chapter 12. Appreciate all of our good singers and appreciate everyone that does it for the right reasons, right? And does it for the Lord. You can have no better audience than the Lord Jesus when you sing. And I appreciate all of our good singers. Mark chapter 12, we'll end tonight dealing with a healthy heart. And tonight we'll talk about a healthy heart detained. And I couldn't come up with no other D word, so I came up with detained. To arrest, you know, to how can you have a healthy heart if it's not contained or detained by something that keeps it healthy? In other words, your heart is not healthy just because it sits in your chest and does this. It has to be hooked to the right sources, right? I mean, it obviously has to be hooked into the right sources. And I believe this. I believe unless you're hooked into God, you're not ever hooked into the right source. And you got to be plugged into Him, and that's what the Scripture is going to talk about. In chapter 12, we see really Jesus deals with three different people, three different groups of people. He begins dealing with the Pharisees in the first part of the chapter. Then you get down to verse 18. He begins to deal with the Sadducees. And it goes through there and says that they were sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they ask questions there. And then you get to verse 28, and he deals with the scribes. And still the Pharisees are part of this group, obviously, through the other scriptures that you can read in Matthew and in Luke. But notice in verse 28, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now, the questions that he's asking him, not what number one is on the list of the Ten Commandments. He's saying, which one do you think is the greatest of all of these? Right? I mean, which one of these would you say? And he's not asking him for the right reasons. Never were the scribes, the Sadducees, or the Pharisees ever asking for the right reason. They were always trying to trip Jesus up. I love how Jesus never got tripped up. You know what? If you could read somebody's mind before they ask you the question, you could have the right answer. And He knew their very mind before they even came. And matter of fact, He knew in eternity past what they were going to ask. And He always has the right answer. So in verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you where He grabs this from. It's not just out thin air. He's pulling it out of their book of the law. He says, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. In other words, love God with everything you are and everything you can be. He said, this is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In other words, Jesus says, and we know this through scriptures, that Jesus says the greatest commandment that you could ever keep is the commandment of love. Love God and love others. And you know the problem with the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees? They loved themselves more than they loved anything. You know the problem with America today is not that we have guns and not that we have this and that. It's that people love themselves more than they love God and love others. Obviously, I would not shoot somebody if I loved them. Right? I mean, I would not come to your house and steal your vehicle if I loved you. I would not be that person. And so here's what Jesus is saying to this scribe, to this religious leader. And later on, he calls him master again. He says, all right, you got me. Basically, and he goes down, he requotes the verse. But I want you to notice, if you can mark this down in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, the scripture was telling us in the book of Deuteronomy, is that there's some things that you need to pass on to your children. If you've ever read Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know what it says. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said the very same statement here. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This is what He said in Deuteronomy chapter 3, or chapter 6 in verse 4. And then in verse 5 in Deuteronomy, He said the same thing He says in verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And then He goes on to say in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, teach this to your children. Yeah. He says in teaching this, now in the previous chapter he gave him the Ten Commandments, but then in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, but in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, then Moses, through the Holy Spirit, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he condensed the law down and said, teach your children that if they'll love God and if they'll love each other, this is the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. And he said, teach this to your children and to your children's children and to the next generation. Folks, we've dropped the ball in teaching our kids to love other people. We've dropped the ball in teaching our kids to love God. By the way, I believe this, and I didn't write this in there, but it's been on my heart all day long. And I was thinking as a parent, anytime we ever have trouble with our kid, have you ever had your kid just to kind of go, it's like something's off with your kid and their attitude's bad and all this. You know what the problem is? It's not that they need more hugs and all this. It's that it's a heart problem. Now, they may need a hug. They may need you to tell them lay low. But I'm telling you, when kids all of a sudden change, something happened in their heart. Something happened in the very depths of who they are. And don't deal with the fruit of that. Don't say, well, he's going through his room and slinging stuff. I got to get him for that. Figure out why he's doing that. Figure out what the root of that problem is. And the root of that problem always goes back to the heart. And most of the time when you get in there in that heart, somebody broke their heart. I was going to marry him. You're only 12. You don't know who you're going to marry. You don't even know your ABCs all the way yet. You know? But in our society today, I believe we as Christians have neglected looking at the very spot or the very part of our life that is no longer healthy, and it is our heart. Our heart is where God works through and in to do His will. He works in our life through our heart, and His Word enters into our heart, and it works its way out of our life. And we must deal with the heart. As a lot of times we always want to deal with the fruit of the problem, and I believe that we have to go back and deal with the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is the heart. So tonight we'll talk about a healthy heart detained by the Lord. Father, we love You. Thank You for this night. And God, I thank You for the opportunity I have to speak to these folks. And Lord, this is just a review lesson tonight. And I pray that You would open our hearts and our minds to what You'd have us say and hear. And God, I pray that through the Holy Spirit tonight, I pray that You would use Him to speak to our hearts and to, Lord, just give us light upon Your Word that we'll understand it. And God, I pray that You bless tonight. I pray that You'd hide me, Lord, behind Your Word, behind Your cross. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're dealing with verses 29 and 30 tonight. But does God have all? That's the question I'll ask. Does God have all? By the way, God doesn't need a co-pilot. You don't need a God to be your co-pilot. You ever remember those bumper stickers, God's my co-pilot? That is not even close to being a true statement. God doesn't want to be your co-pilot. Matter of fact, God will never be your co-pilot. You know why? Because you would drive Him crazy. Literally and figuratively speaking. Is that you would crash and burn. Because why? Because God's not going to sit in the passenger seat of your life. He's either on the throne of your heart or He's not. He's either in the driver's seat with the steering wheel in His hand, or He is not. He's allowing you to make a wreck of your life. And by the way, God will do that. God will stand back in love and kindness and try to send you those warning signs and to send the Holy Spirit in there and try to convict you. But listen, God's not a forceful God. God didn't force you to get saved, and God's not going to force you to be right, because He gives us a choice. By the way, if He didn't give us a choice, why did He put that one tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden? He didn't have to, right? He could have made the garden perfect with no tree of good and evil in it. But He didn't. By the way, if you study that out, it says, and He put in the midst of all the trees. There weren't five trees in the Garden of Eden. I believe there was a forest of trees. I believe there could have been. I'm just speculating, but I'm thinking the way God has spoken through all the Scripture. I don't believe there was two trees and one was good and one was bad. I believe there was probably a forest of trees and just one was bad. Because that's the way God works. His grace always outweighs the bad. Satan knew which tree was bad, didn't he? And by the way, Satan knows how to get you right here. He can affect us tonight as a church, as a society, by attacking our heart. What's wrong with America today is not because of Democrats and Republicans. It's not because of whites and blacks. It's not because of ignorance and people that are educated. It is a matter of the heart. If we as Americans go and we begin to examine our own heart and to see if God has a double L, if God doesn't have all of you, listen, the song doesn't say, I surrender some. That's not the way the song goes. The song says, I surrender all. And if you're going to be detained, listen, I love watching those cop shows. It makes me feel better about myself. And it gives me an opportunity to see family. And if you ever watch, I'm not lying, if you ever watch Live PD or whatever it is, they go to Walton County. That's right beside where I'm from. I'm like, hey, I've seen them before. What's up, cuz? I hadn't seen you in a while. But you know, the first thing they always say is, don't resist. They want to, and first of all, if they're doing an investigation, one of the things that they will do, they will say, we're not arresting you, we're just detaining you. For my safety and for your safety. And what do they do? They put their hands behind their back and they place those handcuffs on there. Why? So they don't become a threat anymore. Because then they have submitted themselves to an authority. Now we know what goes on in today's society. Resistance of that, right? But as a child of God, tonight, the Lord wants all of you, and He wants you to put your hands up, and He wants you to get prostrate on an altar tonight, and say, God, I don't need anything of my own. And God, all of it's yours. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, what do I got to do to inherit life, eternal life? I'm glad Jesus already knew the answer again. He said, sell all you have. You know what Jesus went for? He didn't go for the juggler. He went for the heart. Because He knew that that man's heart was his money. And He knew that if he would not surrender that, if he would not surrender the material things, he would not surrender his life. Listen, Pastor says it all the time, is that, and I'll get on this here in a little bit, we can check our checkbooks and we can see what we worship and what we love. And I do that from time to time and I go, oh, spend too much money there. Thank God Dairy Queen's not close by. Right? Does God have all tonight? Let me give you some things that I see through the Scripture. I want to sum up what all I've preached on in the last 3 weeks. And kind of bring it home tonight. And it won't take me long, I don't think, tonight to bring all these home. But three things I think that'll bring everything into what tonight is that Jesus said in verse 30, He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Listen, God doesn't want part of you tonight. You see, God can do nothing with part of you. But God can do everything through all of you. And listen, here's the good news, is that God wants to use you. God wants to use you as a vessel tonight of honor. Not to dishonor, but to honor. And a vessel tonight, if I took a cup and I pour water in it, that cup still has a little bit of its will. It's going to make a mess. But that cup surrenders to my will. And when I pour the liquid in there, that cup does what it is intended to do. It submits to the will of that wind that's in its hand, or the hand that it's in. I want to give you some things tonight that if we would allow God to have all of our heart, what it would affect. Number one, it'll affect your treasure. It'll affect your treasure. Matthew 6:21, you can write these down. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I thought about that verse a couple days ago. I was thinking about how that verse, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But I begin to think, what if you did that verse backwards? It still works. Because where your heart is where your treasure is. That makes sense? See, I'm dyslexic. I look at everything backwards. You can ask my wife. I can say words backwards clear sometimes than I can forward. The way I think sometimes is, matter of fact, whenever I flip through a book a lot of times, I start in the back and I go forward. I think I was meant to be a Greek reader or something like that when you start in the back and go front. But I wouldn't know Greek anyway. Love Greek yogurt though. But here's the thing, is that where your heart is where your treasure is going to be. Where your treasure is where your heart is, right? But if you think about that, is that where is your heart tonight? If your heart is in sports and in these things and that thing and not in God, guess what? The treasure of that is going to be what the heart is. You can't change the treasure from the heart. In other words, you can't separate treasure and heart away from each other. Everybody understand that? They're one and the same. Where your treasure is there where your heart be. And where your heart is where your treasure is. And I believe if in this life is that if we value things more than we value God, God backs away from our life. You say, well, I love God, but I also love this. God doesn't play that game. Because in Revelation, He said, I'd rather have you hot, I'd rather have you cold. You know why He says that? Because then you know where you're at. The most dangerous person in a church is those who are lukewarm. Hello? Anybody? Now, I know they don't go to this church, but let's pretend they go somewhere else. You ever meet those people you never know how they're going to react to something? Or you never know what mood they're in? Amen. Y'all can say amen. It's okay. Or if you're not saying amen, maybe it's you. I'm that way at times. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at me too. But listen, here's the problem in our society and in our life today is that what we value and what we place value upon is where our heart is. Our hearts, listen, outside of God cannot be trusted. Because why? We fluctuate with the times. But if we are detained, by God, by giving Him all, then guess what? God said, I change not. Amen. And our heart will be detained by Him and our treasure will be affected. By the way, I've learned this also. We were talking about this the other day. We'd already told our kids this year, we're not doing that for Christmas. We're trying to buy a house. Ta-da, there's your Christmas. You know? And I may go over to the dollar store and get them little dollar gifts, wrap them up. Just so. I do that from time to time. Usually for the kid's birthday, I go to the dollar store. Like for Shelby's birthday, I brought her a little makeup kit. It was a little dollar one, you know? It wasn't real makeup. You know? The little, I love getting kids. It's just fun. You know? But I told the kids, you know, hey, this year we're just not going to do anything. We're going to take a little trip, but that's all we're going to do. We're not going to do presents and all this stuff, you know, this year. And you know what? None of our kids went, oh, really? They're like, okay. But you know what I've realized is that I get a little older in life is that I don't value things like I used to. Me and Pastor was just talking about this. I can't think of anything I just need right now. Unless it's a gift card to Texas Roadhouse, I probably don't need it. I do need that. If anybody likes to get gift cards, I'm available. No, but that's true. I mean, I was trying to think of something to get my wife, and it's like, you know what? We have so much. We have so much. I don't need this. I don't need this. And I'm thankful that I'm able to go. And matter of fact, just this week, I was able to get new shirts. And when I get new shirts, I take the ones I have, and I usually give them to somebody. And I usually pass those on to somebody else. And here's the thing. I am so blessed. I am blessed beyond measure. And I figured this out is that the older I get and the more mature I get in the Lord, the more my treasures of this life are not valued the way I value my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that my Bible reading and my prayer time is a lot more valuable than watching television. I realize that reading His Word and praying is more valuable than staring into my phone. I realize that my relationship, my treasure. Listen, our treasure tonight, not only the treasure that is the tangible things in life, but here's what Matthew 12:35, I read the other day. It says, out of a good man, out of a good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Not only just the tangible things in life, but the treasure of your life. In other words, the fruit or the product of your life, of a good heart, of a heart that loves God. All your whole being loves God. And the fruit of that, or the treasure of that, is what? Fruit. Fruit to what? To His account. to a kingdom account. And then I think the number two thing it affects is your tongue. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. I just read that one, but this is a different one. It says, and an evil man out of an evil treasure, here it is, bringeth forth that which is evil. But here it is. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I wear a size 10 shoe, and it fits really good in my mouth. Amen? You ever have leather in your mouth? Or plastic, or whatever you may be wearing. I'm telling you, sometimes I say things and I go, wow, you know what? I look back and I go, wow. I wasn't loving him like I should have been. And by the way, if I hurt Miss Angela, I wasn't loving him like I was, and I wasn't loving her like I was supposed to. You see, also the older I get in the Lord, the more I learn to just wait before you say something. Don't get this ahead of this. Don't get this ahead of this, right? Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, you want to destroy a church, you do it with this right here. Why are y'all leaving the church? You won't believe what so-and-so said to me. Yeah. Amen, Pastor? It happens all the time. Not here, but we're talking about other churches, obviously. But listen, this right here can destroy a relationship. It can destroy a marriage. It can destroy a church member. It can destroy somebody that is about to get saved and you say something before you engage your heart. And listen, if we're not loving him like we should, we're not going to love each other like we should. And we're going to say something we're going to regret. Anybody else a professional? I have a DR degree in apologizing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Usually mine is not, I shouldn't have said that, but I shouldn't have said that in that tone. And by the way, that's just as wrong. And God help us all. We all need help with this, don't we? Remember what James said about this? It's a little member of the body, but it creates a big problem. Be careful. Mark Twain said this, or so they say. There's a couple of people that they think said this, but we're going to give it to Mark Twain. It is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Amen? Sometimes just to keep our mouth closed and listen, I do this, is that sometimes before I go and you know address a situation or something like that, I do this. This is a great idea. I think it's in the Scripture. I pray for them. And I pray for the situation because, listen, I don't know what to say to most people. In my flesh, I don't know. I do know. It'll be the wrong thing. But if I love God and I love them. By the way, you know what Jesus had the audacity to tell us? He said, love your enemies. You know why? Because love is the greatest remedy to hate. Genius. We want to fix America. We fix it by fixing the problem of love. Of the heart. We love Him. And we love each other. Let me give you a third thing and I'm done tonight. Not only does it affect your treasure, your tongue, but it affects your thinking. Matthew 15:19 says, for of the heart, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And he goes through all these things that it happens. Out of a bad heart is evil thoughts. He gives us a remedy. Let me give you Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a person thinks in his heart, listen, the thinker up here, the mind is something that devil can come in and he can attack just like that. Have you ever been having a good day and all of a sudden just that thought runs through your head and you go, where did that come from? Amen. We better guard our heart. You say, what's the cure? You know this verse also, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. By the way, you read that and it says intents of the heart. That means not what it's done, but what it intends to do. It means that it can pre-diagnose a problem. Aren't you glad? The remedy for post is forgiveness. Jesus says, faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But God says that before you do something, if you'll get in the Word of God, it'll discern it. It'll get in there and it'll work in your heart. Don't you love it when you're in a service and all of a sudden that sword of the Word of God just goes in there and it begins to do a work in your life? Aren't you glad when you're sitting in that Sunday school class or HBBI, wherever you may be sitting, maybe you're sitting at home reading your Word, and all of a sudden it just, ooh, that's God loving you. That's God just reminding you He loves you. Somebody said this, give in, give up, and give all. Words to live by for a Christian. Give in to His will. Give up to your will. And give Him all. By the way, tonight, you can't let God sit in your passenger seat. It's not going to work. God doesn't ride shotgun. He's either in the driver's seat or He gets out and He lets you go. You say, He said He never leave us nor forsake us. No, He's right there. You call on Him, boom, He's right there. Thank God we serve a Lord and Savior like that. But He'll take His hands off that wheel. And that's why in the book of Timothy, He said, and some having swerved. You know how you swerve in life? You take control. I never forget when our kids were small. They always wanted to sit in Daddy's lap and drive, right? But as a good parent, now you can't do that here, obviously. We lived in country. You put them in your lap and you let them have it. But as a good parent, you always had your hand on the bottom part of that steering wheel. Because why? Our kids love to do this. Shelby was little. She used to love that. You know why they love that? Because when they're kids, we give them that little car set. Anybody remember those? I don't think they have them nowadays. It has a steering wheel on it. We teach them how not to drive with that thing. And then they get in a real car and they think, boy, we'd still do that. But as a good dad, I'm right there. And I'll grab that steering wheel and correct it pretty quick, one, because I know on their own, they will wreck. Boy, isn't it hard when your kids start driving by themselves? Whew. You know what I do? I pray the Holy Spirit that He'll just watch over that car. The angels of heaven will just surround that car and keep it on the road. Keep it going straight if the road's straight. Listen, tonight, God's giving you the Holy Spirit. He's giving you His Word. And the Bible says He's giving you ministering angels. He's taking care of you. You say, well, what do I got to do? I give up. I'm done. Just take out the old white hanky and go, I'm done. Lord, my life's Yours. Every time Michael Wiggins tries to take over the steering wheel, it usually ends with this. Don't you hate hearing those sounds? You always hear then you hear the crash that happens in our life when we take the steering wheel. Jesus said, love Him with all. Let's stand tonight. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for loving us. And God, I pray tonight that You would, Lord, just convict our heart, Lord, that You have all of us. And Lord, if there's any part of our life and any part of our heart tonight that You don't have, Lord, would You bring that before our mind, before our thoughts tonight? That God, we would, Lord, just relinquish all our will to You. God, making sure that, Lord, we don't have our way, but You have Your way in our life. And Lord, we know if You'll do that, God, all things will work together for the good. And Lord, I thank You tonight for loving me enough, God, just to convict me when I'm wrong and to love me and to care for me. And God, I pray that You do the same for others here tonight. Convict hearts, God, and for those people that need to deal with You tonight, I pray that they'd find them a place here at the altar. We love You and thank You in Christ's name. Amen. As Pastor comes.